It's the second week of deer camp. I got a swollen head. I'm lying with the dust balls underneath my bed. An icy breeze is blowing in through the tongue and groove. My pants are frozen to the floor and I'm too sick to move.
Hey!
Hey!
I didn't drink too many, only 30 cans of beer. It must have been that last shot that put me under here. It's the second week of deer camp and all the guys are here. We try to play cards and shoot the
ball. Let the song play, buddy.
No deer. The only time we leave the camp is when we go for beer. The second week of deer camp is the greatest time of year.
Well, I tell you what, I would give that about a 9. It's easy to dance to. That's a beaut.
That's a good polka there.
That's a beaut.
Oh, that's a polka. Happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. True.
Second week of deer camp. I didn't go. Did
second
go?
Week of deer camp. No, I did not, because we were blessed. You know, Sophie, my dad, and I. We were up at camp last weekend.
That's right.
Yeah, we got a couple does. I brought those into the meat processor or the meat locker, and the processing time was out 8 weeks. Now, if you want to learn some tricks about processing deer, we have a guest tonight for that, don't we, Stu?
We do. Jim Krennick is going to be on. Krennick.
Why is he so special?
Meat processing guy down in Montgomery. Well, he's been doing it for many, many years.
Montgomery, Alabama.
Montgomery, Minnesota, pal, down there someplace.
Right.
And his family's been doing it for 50 years. So we're going to get a deer report from him as well and find out the best way to get your deer from wherever you are to the meat processor to save yourself a whole bunch of meat.
Well, I tell you what, happy Sunday again, the four outdoorsmen on Bob Country. Strew Man is to my right, Boomer right here in the middle, producer Mark to the left.
Hello.
Ice team, join the team, huh?
Yeah, breaking out the old clam gear. It's cold.
Yeah, I got my Blackfish Zenith soft shell on right now.
Speaking of ice team and talking about, you know, it's cold, obviously. I'm not crazy about it. It's too early, I think, but
ruined Scotty your golf
Merwin,
game.
Scotty Merwin texted me and you guys as well. Today, he caught some crappies through the ice someplace.
Okay, I talked to Scotty before the show because I think Scott Merwin, friend of the show, owns Lake Osakis Guide Service. He said they were bluegills.
Yeah.
Is that what they were? Is that what did the text say?
How did you?
I heard bluegills.
Oh, maybe it was bluegills.
Maybe
okay.
They were.
What's
panfish.
Legal?
You're in the same region.
You're in the same kind of continent of fish. So we're good. Hey, we got a special show tonight. We have call-in specials. Call 763-450-0100. We're taking call-ins tonight, 763-450-0100. We want to get your deer hunting stories, plus some early ice fishing, ice lake reports.
Real short deer hunting stories, but hey, make them good if you want to give us a call in. Yeah,
when we
up?
Have call-ins, just so the listeners know, that means we didn't prepare for this show. And we're looking to you to fill all the time.
Yeah.
So, well, we kind of love that.
We got some shout-outs. I've got one, too.
Shout-out. What is a shout-out?
If you don't want to call, if you're shy and you just want to send us pictures of your deer or fish or whatever, you can go to the 4 Outdoorsman. That's the number 4 Outdoorsman Facebook page and comment in the shout-out section. And we have a couple here. Brandon Fleming has a great picture. Looks like it's from his deer stand. And I see brown down in the distance. So he took a cool picture of that.
Attaboy, Brandon.
Our friends the Zeisses. Justin Zeiss says no hunting or fishing, but stopped in Shields in St. Cloud for their ice show. And Colt was chatting it up with our friend Dave Gens. That's always a good guy to talk to.
You aren't kidding.
Yeah.
Richard Rigney says, awesome, didn't hunt this year, but love watching the pictures. And my good friend Barry Larson says his dad got a nice 8-pointer this morning. So congratulations to Barry and his family. I know his dad very well. We used to tile floors together. He's a great man, and good to hear that he got a deer.
Yeah, hey. Tell you what, hang on a second. We're talking about the shout-outs. This is not actually a shout-out, but if you remember the Facebook page, post I posted last week about a young lady, a friend of mine, who had the heart transplant. Carrie Lamper, her name is.
She
had a heart transplant.
Her name on air?
She can't hear anyway. She's got bad ears. Don't worry about that.
Talk away.
But
go do your thing.
25 years ago, she had a heart transplant. I've known her since high school, and she's always hunted and fished. And somebody found out, even to live 25 years with someone else's heart is extremely rare. And she's hunted every year of her life. Her adult life and fished. She bear hunts, she golfs, she does all she can. She's not in great health anymore, but she still does it. Been hunting the same land for like the last 6 or 7 years. The lady who owns that land, I shared this on Facebook about 2 weeks ago, noticed that she had an NRA bumper sticker on her vehicle and told her to take her deer stand down, get off my property, all kind. You'll never hunt this again. And what? And just and a Trump bumper sticker as well. And she said, we're all demons, whatever it is. So she was looking for a place to hunt. I posted it. One of our listeners, the Four Outdoorsman listeners, cool. I forget his name, called me, says he's got some land. And she went up and hunted, and she saw two deer, had a couple of shots last weekend. Don't know if she got anything, but more power to carry, and great for people to step up like that. That's
if
wonderful.
I ask for hunting land on air, do you think anyone would give it up?
Only if you have a heart transplant. So how bad do you want to hunt?
It's coming.
Hey, guys, we already have a caller in tonight. Again, we're taking callers tonight. We want to get your early deer or ice fishing, ice lake reports, and plus we are talking deer opener. It's the second weekend. One of the zones is closed. The other one is still open, I think, till next Sunday.
Got me.
Brandon.
Yeah, boys, we got Scott from Lake Osakis Guide Service on the line. Scott, you're on.
Good for you, buddy.
Scotty Merwin, Lake Osakis Guide Service, friend of the show. Scott, thanks for calling in, buddy. Good luck out there.
Take care, buddy. Take care. Good to talk to you.
Well, hey, Strew, man, we've gotten a couple messages through the studio.
Yep.
That folks are having a hard time hearing our call-ins. So I know Brandon and Brian are in there working hard to get that fixed. So let's just yap a little bit till we can get the call-in thing.
Not a problem.
Fixed.
Hey, I got to do a shout-out here. It doesn't involve the deer hunting right now, but a good friend of mine who's a fan of the show is Howie Atherton. And Howie Atherton is an Elvis tribute artist. Been around for a long, long time. Very, very talented. He's putting on a show with the Mockingbirds, a group called the Mockingbirds, November 23rd at the Coon Rapids VFW.
Are they like going to wear camo, yeah, Strew?
Yeah, or yeah, yeah. No. This is just, I'm just doing this as a friend. And November 23rd, I'm going to be joining him with a bunch of other people at the Coon Rapids VFW. One night with Elvis and the Mockingbirds. It's going to be a good time. So join me.
So back to hunting and fishing. Mark, didn't you have some unique facts about Minnesota deer hunting?
Well, I have some quiz questions for you guys.
All right. Well, we got about 6 minutes to break. So
is there a prize?
And to answer, you say your name over the air. And then you say the answer. And if it's wrong, the other person gets.
How do we know who gets to answer first between
you? Say your name first.
Okay.
Whoever says their name first.
Okay.
And I'm giving $1 to the closest answer.
Are you ready, Strew?
I'm ready.
All right. Yeah. Listeners, if you're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country, why don't you just play along with us? We got some beer quiz time, all right?
Last year, what percent of Minnesota firearms hunters successfully harvested a deer?
Strew.
Okay.
33.
All right, do you want to see if you can get closer?
Boomer. 37%.
Well, it's 35. So
35%.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
Who would have ever thought that?
Yeah, so we both get 50 cents. Now, oh, that's right. Funny.
Do
that's
I have
funny.
To inform you about Price is Right?
Yeah,
you might as well say, if he says 33, say 34.
Yeah, that's true.
I should have done that. That's my bad. All right.
That's funny.
Well, I tell you what, from what I'm seeing on social media, I think we had a much better harvest this year than we have in years past.
I think so, from what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And we're going to find out more about southeastern Minnesota.
All right,
so last year,
35% of Minnesota firearm hunters harvested a deer.
Of those harvested, what percent were antlered bucks?
Boomer.
Yes, sir. Okay. Go for it, Boom.
60%.
Oh, true?
59, not even close to 60.
53% were antlered bucks.
Strew Man gets a dollar.
You only picked one percentage difference than
Mark told me to do that. It's he
price
watches
is right
the Price is Right.
Closest. All right, so gets a dollar.
He's got Bob Barker's
you got a buck
autograph.
50,
I'm taking this money out of your
and
paycheck.
And I got 50 cents.
So right. You know I'm taking this out of your paycheck.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. What percent of deer are harvested in the first 3 to 4 days of the season?
Boomer.
Okay.
70%.
I tell you what, that's probably pretty close there. 70%, he says, first 3 or 4 days. I would say 74%.
Boomer hit it on the nose.
Unbelievable.
At 70%.
Unbelievable.
70%.
That's why you're the
Minnesota
pro.
Firearm.
That's why you make all the
folks.
Big bucks, man.
Harvest a deer.
That's fantastic.
In the first
3 to 4 days.
Wow, that's really good.
All right, so I got $1.50.
Yeah.
And you got $1.50.
Oh, you guys are splitting the first one?
Yeah, sure.
I thought that didn't count. So, Strew, you want to put your money where your mouth is?
Sure, I'm ready.
You want to double down?
Absolutely. Last one. What? Right. One more question?
How many more questions?
As many as you guys want to
do.
All
right, we won't do it yet. Let's go.
What years were the highest deer harvests in Minnesota?
What years? 1812.
What year?
How the hell
pick
is
a year?
Oh, pick a year.
Yeah.
Pick a year.
Were the highest number of
since
harvested.
When? Since the year 1900?
Do you think the most deer was harvested in the 1800s?
I don't
know. They didn't even have licenses.
It's true. Stop.
In modern history.
Cheating and take a guess. What year or one of the years?
1967.
All right. That's your guess?
That's my guess.
1967. How about it?
Because we got 11 bucks out of 13 deer that year.
I should play the Price is Right and go 1968.
Yes,
but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say 1991.
Boomer hits it on the head.
Yeah, really? Whoa. Again?
It says early to mid 1990s.
Because I remember hunting as a kid with my dad. That's when in Bacchus it was like you had a 5-tag limit per person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that in 1967 because
would you guess 1967?
I shouldn't have said that because in 1966 they shut down the season because there was no deer.
All right.
Either that or it was a one-day season, if I remember, 1966.
All right, all right.
It says here that harvests in the 1970s never topped 100,000.
Wow.
It's true.
That's pretty low.
My camp was always...
I've hit the nail on the head.
My camp was always listeners. Extremely successful.
All right, we got 1 minute till break. For our listeners tuning in, we got a Minnesota deer hunting firearm quiz. Boomer's up 3-1.
I don't like it. They're all excited about this, Boomer. This is exciting
what
radio.
What is the total number of deer hunting licenses and permits for all types of hunting? That includes archery, muzzleloader, and gun. How many permits were issued in 2017?
That's not fair to me because Boomer knows all this crap. Golfing question. I'll give you the
answer. Well, we're a hunting and fishing show, so take a guess. Say strew and guess.
How many licenses of all the wild game?
Yeah. Muzzleloader.
I would say
archery is a bow and arrow.
700,000.
No way. I'm going to say 600,000.
666,000.
So I'm closer.
So Strewman wins that one.
Unbelievable.
All right. Well, we're going to get to break here. Stay tuned. We're going to learn how you can butcher a deer from Butcher Jim. What's his last name?
Krennic. He's with Krennic Meat Processing out in the Montgomery area. How to get the deer there properly to save you as much meat as you possibly can.
Ryder,
legally.
What about Dave Orrick? He's going to call in with the deer hunting story.
Dave Orrick's got his first deer hunting story. And a good friend of mine, Rick Longeman, is going to be on as well later on tonight.
All right. Stay tuned to the 4 Outdoorsmen after break.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the 4 Outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the 4 Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store, wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Anglers and outdoors enthusiasts all share a common goal, staying warm, dry, and comfortable. And since you can't choose the weather, you can choose apparel that provides these benefits. Throw in the added value of style, like Mr. Mark Lukey to my left, and you'll have the new line of Blackfish softshell outerwear. Designed for multi-season use, the Blackfish gear lineup of softshells includes jackets, bibs, and pullover hoodies. Utilizing premium fleece and state-of-the-art weatherproof fabrics, these softshells are perfect for spring and fall transitional fishing season. Blackfish gear was created for avid outdoorsmen and women, especially those that spend all day outside. With dependable outerwear, you can keep your mind off the weather and focused on the task at hand. So if you need all-day warmth and comfort, choose Blackfish because you cannot choose the weather. Blackfish Premium Soft Shells are available now at a dealer near you.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life. Did you know Fishing for Life had 26 boats donated last year? Those boats are often given to veterans or refurbished and used in our own programming, or sometimes we sell them after fixing them up to help offset our programming costs. What a wonderful privilege that is. If you're thinking about winterizing or storing your boat this year, consider donating to Fishing for Life. Because we're a nonprofit, you get a full tax-deductible receipt. Donate today at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
You don't have to sacrifice style to have a floor that's 100% waterproof for life. Because the Home Depot has Pergo Outlast Plus laminate starting at just $279 a square foot. With 22 colors, including on-trend grays, Pergo Outlast Plus can fit any style, in any room, beautifully, and resist water. Get Pergo Outlast Plus starting at just $279 a square foot at the number one Pergo waterproof laminate flooring retailer, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see warranty for details.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Hey, we're back, everybody, to the Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman here, Boomer, Mark, Lukey. Thanks for listening, you guys. And we are continuing to take calls, correct?
Yeah, I guess there's an issue if you're listening online, and we apologize for that. If you can tune us in on the live radio, you should be able to hear it. Otherwise, hopefully it'll come in on our podcast when I put that up. But so, if you're listening online, sorry about that. You're only going to be able to hear us really well.
Hey, but they can't hear us without great sponsors, right? And
that's
we want
true.
To thank sponsors that have been supporting us for the last 6 years. Blackfish Soft Shell Gear, I got that on right now. My Zenith jacket, great for cold weather if you're still open water fishing. Clam Outdoors, we're proud to bleed blue. They got a lot of new lineup coming this year in tackle and in ice fishing suits. They got the motion float suit that's out there. Devil's Lake, North Dakota. I'm sure ice is going to be freezing up there pretty quick. And walleye season is open 365 days a year.
Bucket
and
list.
And Alumacraft boats. I tell you what, if you're looking for a deal on an Alumacraft right now, when it's cold out and it's snowing, it's a great time to buy.
And you are on a roll right now, pal. So what kind of jacket am I wearing right
you
now?
You are wearing a Wild Faller jacket. And they are the official apparel of the Four Outdoorsmen for hunting gear. And you look really good, buddy.
You wouldn't believe how many. I wear this because it's comfortable and looks great. I don't necessarily need it right now, camouflage and all of that. But people compliment me all the time. It really is cool.
And, Mark, what kind of duck calls do we use at the Four Outdoorsmen?
Deadshot Custom Call Company. Our friend Brian is the owner up there. And they can make you a custom call for your company. If you lost a dog and want to have his ashes put in the call. If you have a great picture. I've ordered three myself. They're just fantastic gifts for people with holidays coming up. So look up Deadshot Custom Calls and have one made in time for the holidays this year.
Well, yep. I got one being made right now as well. Hey, do we have somebody on the line there, Brian? Brandon?
We do.
Hey, thumbs up means we do.
Thumbs up. Jim Krennic. Jim Krennic, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Jim. Jim Krennic, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. Jim owns Krennic Meat Processing down in the Montgomery area. We had him on last week for a couple of minutes. It was kind of a short deal, but we had a couple of people contact me, and Boomer's dad was saying, God, I wish I could have asked him a few more questions about what's the smartest thing to do when you shoot a deer, what's the best way to get that thing to the butcher without wrecking any of the meat and getting as much meat as you possibly can. Let's talk about that first, and then I'm going to ask you questions about how the deer hunting season is going down there as compared to the last couple of years. So tell us your story. You've been a butcher for a long time.
Well, I've lived. It's out on the country. Is where our place is, right on a farm site. So I've done it all my life. I'm 51 years old right now, so I've been doing it for. So I've been doing a lot of different stuff here and that for deer season and that. And the deer, been the best great temperature wise. We do have a great temperature this year. Last year it was like 50 some degrees.
Right.
That spoilage happens when you get into that. One of the things that when you're trying to get a deer to for the best kind of a quality of a deer is to make sure you find that thing as fast as possible. I got deer this year that people didn't take the guts out right away, and they can spoil right away, especially if it's a big deer. There's a couple of those that happened already this year. Best way, anything that is how to get the guts out of it. The best thing is once you find that deer, get it taken out. Don't open it up. Expose it too much. Leave those hinds. I actually don't even take out or open up the hind area there. Take the butt out of it and open up the stomach. Don't skin it back any. You're wasting a lot of meat in that flank area like that. Get it to your camp and that. Hopefully you plan for it some water or something that you can wash it out. If it is warm this year, you don't have to worry about it. Hang it up. I always hang it by the legs and that. Hang it up in the air and let it cool off as fast as it can. Skinning of it this time of year when it's just a cool, this time when it's cool like this, you don't really have to skin the thing immediately because once that temperature gets down.
Everything should be fine now.
Hey, Jim, I'll tell you what. I'm going to ask you this. If you mentioned that some people have brought deer to you with their lungs and half the body part still in the carcass there. I would think, how come we have gun safety? How come we don't have instructions or some kind of classes mandatory for youth hunters as to how to prepare a deer to get it to the butcher? I think that's because the information you shared with us today, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty valuable information.
I'm part of a sportsman's club in Montgomery and that, and I think that's part of just a basic on it, but I don't think a kid is going to remember that unless he's got a mentor that actually teaches him to write straight through of how to take that all out of it. And when you're out in the woods, it is, you don't want to get your hands all that gunked up anyhow. I take gloves with me all the time, rubber gloves, so you can throw away a couple pairs of them. When you get to camp, the lungs can be taken out then. Then you just open up that brisket, split that brisket, and take out the rest of the lungs and all that and get that air to flow through it. If you can get water on it, water is coming out of the ground, at 50-some degrees if you're on a farm site down south here. If you're up north, get ice cubes and put it on it and chill it down as fast as you can. The least you open it up with the hide, I get people that skin it out too far. Don't do that. You want to save as much meat as possible. At the average deer, you can get 60 pounds out of a doe. You can get up to 100 pounds out of it. And the other thing is when you find the deer is still alive, don't shoot in the middle of the neck. Come on, get up to the close to the head. You just wasted another. I get these people that go and blast it in the neck. Yeah, you're putting it out of its misery. Take it right behind the skull. You're not going to wreck that much anyhow. You save as much meat. There's so many stupidity things that people are doing. They're not saving as much as they can. That's all I did today is boned, and I'm looking at some of the stuff of shoulder shots is the worst thing because you break one shoulder blade and next shoulder blade. You lost a lot of meat right there. So when I got to classify how much they can make and everybody gets their own deer back, they have to have 30 pounds a batch for each one of them. Hey, you put a bullet hole in that shoulder, you got the round. You want to save the round and get the best part of that round of it, the quality of that round and the chops to get the best meat out of it.
Hey, Jim, Boomer's got a question.
Yeah, hey, Jim, thank you for the intro there, Stu. Jim, thanks again for joining the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. One trick my dad taught me after, we process the deer in the field and we bring it back in and we're going to hang it in the pole shed is we usually break a stick and kind of put it in the middle of the rib cage to help open it up. I'd like to get your feedback on that. And then number two, you talked about, hey, maybe we can get 60 pounds out of a doe, potentially 100 pounds. Let's say they shot it in the shoulder and you shot like 150-pound doe. What typically pound of meat are you going to get back out of that?
45 pounds. 45, if you keep the chops out of it, and then they want to keep the chops for a little bit of steaks, and then you're going to get try to save trim, you're only going to get about 45 to 50 pounds. If they hit both shoulder blades, you're really wrecked a lot of it because we can't, anything that's got blood and bone fragments, that's done, and one through the other. If it's a little bit behind the arm area where it hit the heart but really didn't hit any shoulder blades, you can gain a little bit because that's in the brisket area.
Yeah.
Don't finish it off in the neck. Stomach shots, usually there's something weird about that. If there's a stomach shot, they kept on going. Sometimes they found them right away. These TV shows that say, hey, we're going to leave that deer and find it tomorrow, don't do that. I can tell that deer when it walks in. I can smell it. My nose is pretty touchy on stuff like that. I can smell it right away. That's not a Minnesota when it's warm like that. And I don't know how they do it down in southern states like that there because you have to get that. As soon as the blood stops flowing, you have to get the interns out of it as fast as possible just to get it freshened up and get water on it so you can get that cleaned out. It's best if you do it and you're going to drag it across a plowed field or behind a four-wheeler, you're going to get dirt into it. So you don't even have to open up the lungs right away. When you get to the camp, break the brisket open, pull the lungs out of it, get the throat all the way out of it, and wash it down. Bam, you can have some really nice venison out of
it. Hey, Jim, I've got to ask you this question. When I was a kid starting to hunt at the age of 13 up in Ely, Minnesota, I remember being taught by somebody that the first deer I ever shot was an 8-point buck, the one I ever harvested. I'd shot at one prior to that, and it jumped and took off, and my dad or somebody came up to the stand and, and said, what happened? I told him what happened. He said, okay, if it took off, let's let it lay for a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes or so.
That's what my old man says, too.
Is that too long of a time? And can you let a deer lay for a half an hour or an hour to try to let it to stiffen up and die, or is that going to ruin the meat?
No, I'm an avid archery hunter because I don't got any time for doing a shotgun or any of that stuff, so I archery hunt. Definitely. I literally have a clock on my bow. When I shoot my deer, and I use Luminox so I can see where it kind of hit, and when it goes through, and if you're not really questioning it, always archery is leave it set for half an hour to 45 minutes. It kind of bugs you, especially if it's a big rack. You want to go see it.
Yeah.
Did I get it or not? No, it's going to bust loose. You've got that time frame because you know it was still going. It's those people that you're tracking and tracking and tracking. I've had it happen 2 years ago. I tracked a deer, couldn't find it. Yeah, I got a brother, and we kind of helped out, and we got together, and all at once, you know what? I shined my lights. It was dark already out, and I seen him looking at me. And I went, no, all right, let's back up. And we left it for 2 hours. I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I went back up there, and finally it was laid down.
Attaboy.
That kind of a scenario, it's going to be a night deal. I don't know how you can finish it off if it was still moving. That's one of those scenarios. I think everybody should first start off with either a muzzleloader shooting or an archery, because then you're going to try to get the best shot always.
That makes sense.
Because with your gun, you're just relying on four more bullets behind it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bloomer.
You know, Jim,
we got time
for one more question. A lot of people talk with venison how to get rid of the gamey taste. And let's say for the person that's not going to bring it into a butcher, but they're going to butcher it up themselves. Any tips for our listeners out there on the Four Outdoors and on Bob Country, how they can get rid of the gamey taste when they're processing their own deer?
Well, freshness of it is the biggest thing. You want to get, if it's an older buck, especially when they're rut right now, they're going to have a stronger taste. If they've been chased, if somebody shot him and they got chased for, the adrenaline is going to change that meat quality some. There's nothing you can do about that there. Boning it out, now you're probably going to have a lot of people that are just at the end of the 200 season and that. They're probably wondering what they're going to do with their deer, if they're going to do it themselves. They can do it in the backyard, people doing it themselves, because it's nice and cold for them to do it. When they bone out that meat, try to keep it we, as processors, like to have it in, like, 8-inch bags. That works the best. If you put it in a 5-gallon pail and freeze it, it's hard for us to handle because all our totes are meant for, like, 8-inch high. The best quality is how fast you can get it, find it, gut it. The hide really doesn't make any difference as far as peeling it off unless it's really warm out, because the hide is actually a preserver. So if you're going to be one of those that can't get to it till next week, you shot it this weekend, leave the hide on it because it will kind of prevent it from drying out that outside skin. It doesn't really, I mean, if you were to put a thermometer in that round, if you got it 40 degrees inside the center of that round already, you're good. If you can hold it there, you're good on it. That's just going to be a preserver with that hide.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jim Krennick of Krennick's Meat Processing Company down in Montgomery, you want to get a hold of this guy down in that part of the state, go to 507-364-5154, Krennick's, K-R-E-N-I-K. And Jim, the email you sent us with all the instructions specifying exactly what we're talking about today, we're going to post on our Facebook and our website so we can share with everybody, and hopefully we can generate some business for you. You're going to be the Four Outdoorsman butcher from this point on, pal. So thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman.
Enjoy it.
We're going to go to a young man named Dave Orrick.
Get a sponsor.
Well, yeah. Talk to you later, pal. Thanks for being
thanks,
on the
Jim.
Show. All right, take care, Jimmy.
You bet. Take care.
You
Bye.
Bet. Mr. Orrick, are you there? David.
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're doing well. We're talking to Dave Orrick. He's a writer with the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Got his first Minnesota deer this year. But one of the questions that Boom asked Jim Krennick, the butcher, you can tell us, because the question that you asked Jim Krennick was, how do you get rid of the gamey taste?
Yeah.
Well, this guy,
Dave Orrick knows how to do it.
Well, he cooked liver and heart.
Hey, I love eating heart with my dad. Slice some onions in there, fry it up. We always do that at
I have
camp.
No
That's
idea.
That's a tradition, buddy.
Anyway, Dave, thanks for being on the Four Outdoors. Let's tell us a story about your first deer. Was this your first whitetail deer or first deer in Minnesota?
It's my first deer I've ever killed in my life.
Really? Did you feel bad?
I felt mixed emotions. You know, I felt everything. I was proud, and I was also felt bad for it while I watched it take its last breath. I was, you know, it's that mix of emotion. It's probably a little different for an adult than it is for a kid who probably doesn't feel as much as the same kind of emotions. I'm guessing, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't start hunting till I was 40,
and that's when you came to Minnesota, right?
Yep. Yeah. When I became the outdoors writer for the Pioneer Press, I did all the other outdoor stuff, but I'd never hunted, and I took to hunting right away. Ducks, pheasants, squirrels and rabbits, all you know, all kinds of stuff. Woodcock,
mushrooms.
I love hunting woodcock.
You hunt mushrooms once in a while?
yeah, I do that as well. But you know, the and wild turkey, I've, 3 years in a row, I've taken a tom in the spring. But deer had always eluded me, and of course, I had one bad experience where I shot one, but probably was a little too low and clipped it in the brisket, and we followed a blood trail for a whole day till it kicked it up once, and then the blood trail just went dry, and I always felt bad about that. But yeah, this year I got an 8-point buck Sunday. Right around last light, you know, I was hearing Krennic there talking about preserving the meat, and I lost some of the meat on mine because he moved just as I was taking the shot, and I actually didn't hit him in the boiler room in the vital organs that shot. I caught him on the spine, which turned out to be pretty lucky because that took out his back legs and went down.
Yeah. Dave, what were you thinking? I remember one year I took an 8-point buck out, and I did shoot it in the spine as it was kind of jumping, and it did drop pretty quick, and I didn't lose a lot of meat. I did feel bad about the shot, but what was going through your mind? And we might carry you over into next breaks, Drew, because we only got 2 minutes here, but what was going through your mind after that first shot? Did you think you had a vital shot, or what was
I thought I had a vital shot, because when you hit them in the spine, even if you don't hit the nerve, the spinal column, apparently a lot of deer will, their move is just to crumple and drop on their side. And that's what this guy did. And so I thought I'd just wallop them in the lungs or the heart and just, you know, cause them to just drop and basically be ready to die. So he went down, and I thought, yeah, this one I got. I didn't mess this one up. I am money. And he sat there just huffing for a little bit. And then he started moving with his front legs only and was kind of dragging himself along. And I thought, well, he shouldn't be doing that. You know, if anything, I would have clipped the front shoulder or two. What's he doing? What's going on there? And then he moved in a certain way that I could see the wound up on his spine, and I thought, oh man, I did not get him good enough. So I'm gonna, I loaded another round, and I was using a 20 gauge single shot slug gun, and I went around and then went in for the kill shot, both lungs, so I could save the heart.
So where did you fire your second shot? Krennic says shoot him in the back of the head and save all the meat. Where do you shoot that second shot?
Yeah, maybe I should have done that. You know, I was just thinking I don't want him to jerk his head in any way because he was moving. He was scrambling.
Yeah.
So I went for what I thought would be the lungs.
Okay.
And that's where I got. And right. I got him in the lungs.
Hey, Dave, so, with your connections with being the outdoor news editor for the St. Paul Pioneer Press for a number of years, and now you're still writing for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, you must have tons of connections. You can hunt almost any place with a lot of the people that you've met, private property. Why do you choose public land?
Yeah, I never wanted to cash in on you know, being a reporter with the paper or anything for deer.
There you go.
And you know, people have invited me, but you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people who invite me up to their grouse woods and their grouse camp or their duck camp, but not the deer camp. You know, deer camp, that's special. You know, I'll have you over, Stu, for a Sunday night dinner. I might even have you over for Thanksgiving, but I don't know if I'm going to have you over for Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Hey, I tell you what, Dave, we're gonna take a break here for a few minutes. Hang on. We're going to finish talking with you another 5 minutes after we take the break. Four Outdoorsmen, be back in a couple of minutes.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the Four Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Anglers and outdoor enthusiasts all share a common goal, staying warm, dry, and comfortable. And since you can't choose the weather, you can choose apparel that provides these benefits. Throw in the added value of style, like producer Mark to my left, and you have the new line of Blackfish softshell outerwear. Designed for multi-season use, the Blackfish gear lineup of softshells includes jackets, bibs, and pullover hoodies. Utilizing premium fleece and state-of-the-art weatherproof fabrics, these softshells are perfect for the spring and fall transitional fishing season. Blackfish gear was created for the avid outdoorsmen and women, especially those that spend all day outside. With dependable outerwear, you can keep your mind off the weather and focused on the task at hand. So if you need all-day warmth and comfort, choose Blackfish, because you can't choose the weather. Blackfish premium softshells are available now at a dealer near you.
You don't have to sacrifice style to have a floor that's 100% waterproof for life. Because the Home Depot has Pergo Outlast Plus laminate starting at just $279 a square foot. With 22 colors, including on-trend grays, Pergo Outlast Plus can fit any style, in any room, beautifully, and resist water. Get Pergo Outlast Plus starting at just $279 a square foot at the number one Pergo waterproof laminate flooring retailer, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see warranty for details.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Well, Walgreens is a preferred network pharmacy for many plans, including UnitedHealthcare, which means lower copays for you. Together, Walgreens and UnitedHealthcare make saving on Medicare Part D quick and easy. So bring your prescriptions to your nearest Walgreens pharmacy and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Honey, why is that box strapped to an engine?
That's the Boxinator 9000, like Santa's got in his workshop. It gets presents out fast.
But the United States Postal Service has everything we need to send presents and cards fast.
Oh, that's good. The Boxinator 9000 ain't exactly street legal.
From shipping supplies to ship-by dates, USPS has everything you need to get gifts and greetings out on time. Learn more at usps.com/cheer. United States Postal Service. Priority you. And with the Informed Delivery feature, get a digital preview of your mail before it arrives.
All right, we're back. Let's get right back to Dave Orrick, the writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Got his first deer ever, not only in the state of Minnesota, but his first deer ever. And he's an old guy. Hell, he's got to be 40-something years old. What do you got, Boomer?
Hey, Dave Boomer, congrats again on your first deer that you harvested ever. And it's an 8-point buck, so that's a really amazing start. What are you going to do with the meat? You bringing it to a butcher? You going to harvest it yourself? And what are you going to do? Are you going to get some sausage? You going to just do some roast, some steak, some burger? What are you thinking?
I took out the heart and the tenders and the liver and everything, worked that up right away. But then I took the deer to Von Hansen's in St. Paul.
Yeah.
I knew they were open late, and I was able to get it there. Next time I'm going to probably try doing it myself, but we've already got it back. They had a quick turnaround. Wow. And they have, we got venison sticks, maple, rope, we got summer sausage, and then a whole lot of roast and steaks and ground. And, so far everything they've done, I got to tell you, it tastes fantastic. And, the nice thing about doing those sticks is you can bring them to work and hand them out like candy to people.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Dave, you got to be careful. If you butcher your own deer, I learned this through my dad. You got to be careful because there's a good chance you're going to end up being drunk. Because he and his brothers-in-law, they butchered their own deer and skinned their own deer in the garage. And after a couple of hours, they were on the way to the next level.
Hey, so go ahead. Dave, before we let you go here, because we got Rick's going to be talking.
Well,
to
we
us
got
in
we
a
got
couple...
another 3 or 4 minutes with Dave, but I want
Dave,
the story.
What are you hearing so far as like what the harvest looks like this year in 2018 versus years past?
I think it was down slightly on opening weekend, but I haven't heard it since. I haven't actually checked in on how it's been since then. Is that what you guys were hearing?
We were kind of thinking it was up just based on social media and different reports, but that
might
just...
only see the victories on social
media. Yeah, you only see the... That's the thing about social media. You only see the victories.
It's like betting with,
well,
it's like betting with a bookie.
Everyone I've has been like, oh, you got one too? So, because a lot of people seem to be getting them. You know, there's no question that the population is healthy enough. And I'm betting that you know, these last couple of weekends, now that it got cold... get some snow to track, to see the sign really easily. I'm guessing it's going well. You know, the Bucks are rutting for sure right now.
Yeah, my guess is the second weekend had to be better. Okay, a couple of questions, Dave. Number one, how did you choose the public property that you hunted on? And number two, describe the process or the entire experience about when you first saw that deer, how you chose where you sat down and hunted, how long before you shot the deer had you seen it, those kind of things.
Sure, yeah. So this spot, I've gone deer hunting for a number of years in the same spot because it's close to the metro. It's within an hour's drive of the metro. It's a spot that no one else seems to really hunt on. It's
where
I did
is
a lot
that
of research.
Exactly?
I won't tell you where it is, but it is public
please.
Land, and it's relatively close to the metro. I did a lot of research, you know, looking over plat books and you know, Onyx Maps. If you guys know that that app, that
it's
can
really wonderful.
And yeah, it's fantastic. And studying and going out and doing a lot of scouting and stuff. And this is an area with hardwoods. It's got this one little opener with some grasses and alfalfa. And basically, the whole day I had seen nothing but two coyotes, and one of them came up real close to me. And I just remember thinking, this can't be good. But, you know, I don't stay in a stand. I actually hunt on the ground or I sneak around. I like to do that. And I had seen this this trail that was clearly a buck had been using it. There were rubs and scrapes. And Sunday, I don't know if it's not today, but last Sunday, you know, it started raining overnight and it turned to snow. And by the droppings and the scrapes, I was pretty confident this buck had used it very recently. So even though I hadn't seen any deer, I decided for the last light I would sit down near this opening. It was a log that I could sit on, giving me a narrow shooting lane down to an opening, and I would stay there for the last light because it's a good spot for a last light. You know, in the open, a lot of time, that's when they'll come out to feel a little bit less scared. But, you know, I had also given up on the day because that's just the way it is. When you're there all day and you haven't seen anything, you're just convinced that the deer must be just, you know, in the next 40 acres on either side of you, but not
sure.
Where you are.
Sure.
And I was convinced that I would be able to see any animal approaching before it got into my shooting lane. And I didn't. All of a sudden, there was a big rack and there was the full body of the deer. And thankfully, though, I was on my game. I wasn't, you know, smoking a pipe or eating trail mix or having a drink. And that's half the game right there. It's, you know, having both hands on the gun and the gun at the ready.
Attaboy.
And flipped off the safety and raised it. And like I say, I got my shot, and he moved just at the last minute and ended up with the spine shot. But it was enough to knock him down, which was great because... you know, if he had run, that would have stunk. The other nice thing is I was up on the level that I could drive the car into, the area where I hunt had some serious ravines. And I've always dreaded if I would have had, I mean, I've hauled turkey up those ravines and just had to drop to my knees,
yeah.
You know, gasping for breath. If I had to haul this guy, this is about 160-pounder dress.
Attaboy. Hey, I'll tell you what, so, Dave. This is congratulations on your first year in Minnesota. Nice buck, and I'm glad everything's going well for you. We got to get next to our next guest, and we thank you for being on the 4 Outdoorsmen. Save me a beer, a couple of deer sticks, if you would. Go ahead, Boomer's got one more thing.
Well, no, I was going to say, Dave, thanks for joining our show. And if you're tuning into the 4 Outdoorsmen on Bob Country, this is a deer hunting special and ice fishing lake report. So if you're just tuning in right now before you get to Bear Facts and Fishtails, our podcast will be on our website on www.the4outdoorsmen. Probably on Tuesday or Wednesday, we still might have time for a couple more calls. Give us a buzz at 763-450-0100. And Strew, who do we got next?
I don't know, but Dave, if you're still there, thanks, buddy. Talk to you guys. Talk to you soon, okay, pal? All right, here we go. Big Rick. Big Rick is Rick.
Hold on, we got a shout-out.
Can we finish some shout-outs?
No, you can't.
Okay.
No.
Big Rick, welcome to the 4 Outdoorsmen.
Thank you.
Big Rick. Now, this is Rick Lonsham. We'll do the shout-outs. We'll save him for next week if you can. We only got like 7, 8 minutes.
No. We got to give credit to our listeners,
anyway,
Drew, man.
So Big Rick Lonsham. Rick Lonsham is a friend of mine for 40 years, give or take, and he's been up at the Hunting Shack for a number of times. Rick, how you been, pal? And are you still doing any hunting whatsoever?
I quit hunting maybe about 5 years ago, and I just go up now with my grandchildren.
Tell us one of your favorite hunting stories, whether it's at the Polish Palace, the Hunting Shack up in Ely, Minnesota, or something you did recently in the last couple of years.
Well, the best one was in the Hunting Shack was when I went out one morning to go deer hunting, and it was snowing, and I thought I crossed the power lines behind the shack and got a little thrown off guard there and got lost in the woods for 3 or 4 hours.
I tell you what, as a matter of fact, I remember that specifically because I set you down someplace, and when I went to get you, you were gone. And then I started following, there was snow, thank God. I started following your footprints. Now, Big Rick, I call him Big Rick, he's about 6'3", 6'4", whatever that is. And they started, it was walking, then little by little, I saw your pace, the steps getting bigger and bigger, like you were trotting. And you were gone for a couple of hours. I mean, how did it, he's one of these guys who thought he never needed a compass or anything. Back then, there wasn't GPS. So tell us, where did you? How did you figure out where the hell you were going?
Well, actually, I thought I crossed the power lines and didn't, and went back across the other way and got lost, and actually found another hunter up on the power lines, and I had to shoot off a few shots, which didn't make him too happy, and he pointed me in the right. He pointed me in the right directions. I was off. Coming out of the woods by about a mile.
As a matter of fact, if I remember, I think you offered the guy some money to get you out of the woods. Is that correct?
Yes.
Jeez. We've had a lot of stories up at the Polish Palace in Ely, Minnesota. And I hear it. So anyway, I happened to see this same hunter, and he just pointed the direction. I said, I'm looking for you. He went this way. And you went past a Greek stand, and when I found you, you were going the exact opposite direction. When I found this guy, and this is when we're wearing wool, things like it was heavy clothing way back then,
yeah,
and he was sweating
not
like
sweat wicking performance.
Oh
apparel,
man!
Right?
And Big Rick slid down the base of this tree. He says, "We got to get out of the woods. It's got to be 4 o'clock." It was about 1 o'clock, and it's interesting to see a man as big and strong as you scared to death.
Oh yes, and then actually I slipped off the cliff that day. Remember the black and blue mark I had on my leg and my rear end?
I still have a photograph of that, buddy. I still have a photograph
that was
of that. Yeah, yeah.
That was awful big.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, I tell the stories when Big Rick, everyone knows about this is the guy who chased Greg Pyszecki out of the Hunting Shack in his underwear in the snow because Greg Pyszecki put a mushroom in Rick's mouth.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
I would have probably chased you out of the Hunting Shack, too.
Yeah, if we were not there, Greg Pyszecki would not be here either, I'll tell you. But, yeah, no, we've had a lot of good times up there. The Hunting Shack is still there, and if you want to get up there and use it anytime, you're more than – you. He and Mary Rose went up there one time. And Rick woke up, turned the light on, and he saw a couple of mice in the cereal box. They left the Hunting Shack and went to a hotel.
Virginia, Minnesota.
Yeah, they drove 50 miles to go to a hotel because he didn't like the mice.
That wasn't me so much as my wife.
Yeah, that's a good friend. Hey, I tell you what, Rick. You know, if you get a chance, get that gun back in your hands. We're gonna get you up to the Hunting Shack next year, and we'll go into town, have a few cocktails. Rick's the same guy. We all got up one time. We went to town and get up in the morning, go hunting. He has breakfast. We all go out the Hunting Shack, and we're going to go to different spots. Rick was the last person. He walked right around the cab and went right back to bed.
That's right. We I really did. Breaks. And when you all came in, you said, "How was hunting?" I said, "Pretty good."
Hey, Rick, we're gonna let you go, but I'll tell you what. You've got to start listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen, and we're going to get you back up the Hunting Shack because that's been a big part of your life.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Enjoy yourself.
You bet. Take care. All right, do a couple of shout-outs.
All right, let's get to our listeners.
We got a couple shout-outs here. This one is from Brian from My Bob Country Team. He says, if you want to see Stru practicing his second week of deer camp line dance, check out the comments because there's a video. If you want to see Stru line dancing, it's pretty good.
It's absolutely worth it. You want to check it out.
Who the hell are you?
We also have Ryan Thunstrom. He says his wife, Becky, on her Minnesota buck this year. Tony Thiesing says, shout out to Wade Yahala getting it done on Veterans Day pheasant hunt with the Hometown Heroes Outdoors.
Hey, and happy Veterans Day to our veterans that served. We owe it all to you. Thank you very much.
My friend Barry says, forgot to post this last week. My son got his first deer. Beautiful buck there. And Corey Bechtold says, full report on What's Working Now Facebook page. He's got his boat in the water, and I see ice around it, so I don't know how far he's going in his boat. But thanks, everyone, for writing in this week. We got a couple minutes left here, like 3 minutes.
Let me finish up the story about Big Rick. Now, this is a good lesson. Anybody can get lost anytime. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, maybe Mark Fisher can tell us if they found the guy up in Pine County. There was some guy's been gone for about 4, 5, 6 days in Pine County someplace, lost in the woods. Really? And I don't know if they've found him.
A deer hunter?
A deer hunter.
I haven't heard that. Have you heard it, Mark?
No, I have not. Sorry, guys.
I'll dig up more information about that. Anyway, anybody can get lost anytime if you're not prepared. And Rick didn't think he'd have to be all that prepared because he was Big Rick. Great guy. And he'd been up there many, many, many times. When I got him out of the woods, honest to God, he was shaking so badly, and it wasn't cold out. We put him back in this Volkswagen bus. I called it the Polish Cadillac, and we got him back to town, laid him on the floor, put blankets around him, sweating like a son of a gun, but shaking like a son of a gun, and it took a long time for him to recover. You know, it's the mind works funny thing, so be safe out there. Well, I don't care if you're ice fishing, deer hunting, whatever, you got to be safe.
You know, I always bring a compass with me, even though I know your phones, the smartphones have their own compasses, but things can happen with a phone. You could drop it in the snow, it can shut off, and I remember always I keep a compass with me, and I always know the direction that I went in.
Yep.
And then I always go that opposite direction to get out in case I get kind of confused in the woods.
Don't be afraid to mark your path. We used to do that all the time. You know, get some bright orange ribbon and mark your way as you go, just so you know your path.
But, or they have those little tacks that you can put into trees. So when it's dark out, you know, they flash back at you with a flashlight. Oh. I've done those up at – well, that we do that up at our deer camp up in Bacchus. Those little tacks, they work pretty well.
The 3030 Marlin that I have, Mark saw this last weekend. It's got a compass right in the stock. And it's so cool, and I also wear one on my jacket as well. But you're looking down at your gun all the time anyway, and it's there, and I compare both compasses. It's the coolest little thing, and you don't have to worry about losing your compass. Yeah, tight, we're going to wrap it up here, but thanks for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen. We have a lot of fun here. We'll see you next week on Sunday, but in the meantime, I think...
Get outdoors!
You got it.
Bob Outdoors.